This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the studio is Martin Miller, who is the managing director of Theater Squared, and Morgan Hicks, who is directing the first feature this year, which is Noises Off, but you also have another title.
I'm the director of education and program development at Theater Squared.
I think we've set a record for most time saying director in an introduction to an interview. Noises Off opens August 30th. It opens the seventh season of Theater Squared. This is exciting.
Yes, we have been building up to this all summer, quite literally, in our new scene shop, which we just got partway through last year. This is probably the most ambitious, it's the most ambitious season we've done, and this is the most ambitious set we've ever built. Not to give too much away, but it does require that both sides of the set be ready for audience enjoyment. So there's quite a lot of things that need to be on wheels and things that need to move in and off, and often very tall things. So anyway, it's quite the set.
Morgan, early in the rehearsal process, you had put some photos up on Facebook.
That's right.
And I haven't seen any of those lately.
Right. The set is evolving, and we decided that we would keep the surprise for the audience. So we decided sort of as a group that we would do close-ups, and we could take some pictures of props or faces, but we wouldn't take any more pictures of the set as it developed. So what is still on Facebook are some structural things, some 2x4s, and some raw wood. But yeah, we wanted to keep what the set will actually look like a surprise.
It's a play within a play. 9-person cast.
It is.
A set that moves.
Yes. 13 doors, 13, two stories.
13 doors, two stories, precision timing required.
Yes. Yes. The device of the play is that we're watching the first act. The first act is the last rehearsal, the last dress rehearsal of this production that's going to be going on the road. So we see the very last dress rehearsal, which is taking us into the night. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning by the time that they're finished with this dress rehearsal. Then the second act is we're watching this show backstage while the show is going on, and then the third act is the final performance of the tour. So we're watching the whole process of a theatrical event from beginning to end.
So you'll see some things happen more than once.
It's
but
true.
From different perspectives.
Yeah, the playwright actually writes, it's a 3-act play that is described as act one, act one, and act one. Yeah. So the third time you see act one, it's much more illuminating than the first time you see it.
There's a certain factor for the audience at certain moments. Like,
right.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. And there are two different plays going on at once during act two. So we're seeing act one, but we're also seeing act two simultaneously.
Now, for a novice, Morgan, this sounds like it would be tougher to direct than another show. But is it just another show as far as a director? I mean, all shows have their own challenges.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think all shows have challenges and all shows are exciting in different ways. But the math of the show was particularly exciting to me. And we just, you know, we did Boeing Boeing last year. We did that a big farce with 7 doors. And so as we were approaching this one, I was like, okay, well, it'll be like that. It's very precise. The doors have to open and close at the right moments in order for the comedy to work. And it'll be about getting all of that math down. This show is a lot more complicated than that as far as just
more like calculus than
algebra. Yeah. It's advanced math. It is advanced. And the actors that we have are doing an extraordinary job. We have just kind of a stellar crew working on it and trying to figure it out. But it takes every single brain in the room to be kind of at full capacity in every moment to make it work. Yeah.
That's what starts the season. Mm-hmm. Then you have, I mean, when people think Christmas and comedy, they think Tennessee Williams.
Yeah.
If they didn't yet.
They will.
They will. It's his only comedy. He described it as his only comedy. Somebody wrote a column saying that what Tennessee Williams, all he ever does is plunge into the sewer of human nature. And so Tennessee Williams went, no, I don't. Here's a comedy. But in doing so, he said, listen, a comedy plumbs the same depths, and a drama goes to the same heights. Every great work of theater has these same extremes. The way that a play happens to end shouldn't define what you call the play, even though it does. We're calling it a comedy. It is a comedy. But yeah, it's a really smart work by one of the greatest American playwrights that has been chronically underproduced for the last 50 years. And it was basically rediscovered in England by the Almeida Theatre, which is this great company. They love Tennessee Williams in London. And it was a production that took all sorts of critics and the public by surprise because everyone, what happened to this play? It hasn't been produced since like 1960. I was lucky enough to see that show and then reading a lot of the discussion of it, you know, we have been looking at it for a couple of years now, and this felt like the right year to do it. It's not A Christmas Carol, you know, mm-hmm. or it's not our reimagining of It's a Wonderful Life like we did last year. It's less of a household name, but it is, it should be.
Yeah,
it's really sweet.
It has a beautiful journey that is not unsimilar to something like And It's a Wonderful Life. And it's not the chestnut. It's not the expected title for A Christmas slot. And I think that's, you know, we talk about seasons planning being this alchemy, and this year it just seemed like the right time to do a show that had a beautiful story that was set on Christmas Eve and wasn't necessarily the expected title.
Right. It's two couples. They are, one of them is newlywed as of, you know, one catastrophic night before, and the other one that's, I think, about 8 to 10 years into their marriage. And that, the second marriage, the wife has, it opens on that character is sitting alone because his wife has left along with their son. And then the newlywed couple arrives. And it's, you mentioned sitcom a couple minutes ago. If you watch the movie version of this one, it has a very sitcom-y feel as well, which is, we think, probably the wrong take on it. There's a lot of comedy in it, but there's a lot of heart as well. When I saw it in London, you just really fall in love with these characters, and you see yourself. I mean, kind of the classic tropes that you mm-hmm. that you say when you talk about a great play. It does that, and it also happens to occur on Christmas Eve. The whole play takes place on Christmas Eve, and so it ties into that really nicely. I think it's a very nice way to bring your family out, or just your wife or your boyfriend or whomever to see a play with you in December.
And that'll be in December. Sons of the Prophet is the third one. That's a play that hasn't been produced much outside of New York.
Hasn't been produced at all since its New York debut.
There you go. That's not much.
Yeah, and the reason for that is not that it's been forgotten in the sands of time.
It's
like
very current.
Period of adjustment. Mm-hmm. All of the awards it's won were 2012 awards. It was a finalist for the 2012 Pulitzer Prize. It won the 2012 New York Outer Critics Award. It won a 2012 Obie Award. That's how new this play is. Through some sort of miracle, we were able to become one of the first theaters in the country to be granted the rights. And in fact, our scheduled production date for the show, no one has yet announced an earlier production date for the show. So basically, Theater Squared,
the
at
outside
the Vanguard.
Of New York.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. And this was a big play. This is a play that, you know, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, all of them put them among their top 10 plays of the year, some of them of the decade. And it's really exciting also to, I'll just announce right here on your show, Kyle, that we got the final confirmation that in partnership with the Fayetteville Public Library, I'm pointing across the street from the KAF
yes.
headquarters, we are going to actually be bringing in Stephen Karam, the playwright of Sons of the Prophet, during the rehearsal process. We'll be having a conversation you'll take part in at the library.
That'll be fantastic.
And that's really great. I mean, this guy is happening. He's basically one of the biggest new names in playwriting right now nationally, and he's coming right here to Fayetteville to take part.
It's an exciting seventh season. It begins with Noises Off, August 30th. Tickets still available?
Yes, they are. Although I have to say it's selling fast. I got a report today from the Walton Arts Center that I was like, wow, that's a big number for a week and a half out. So I would recommend that folks get out there and get some seats.
True, this run cannot be extended?
It cannot because of a phenomenon in Fayetteville known as Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, whereby anyone – I don't believe the Walton Arts Center attempts to produce that weekend either. It's just really tough to get anywhere near that area. And even if you were to get into the theater, I think the rumble of bikes would quite drown out the show.
It would not be noises off.
No, it would just be
noises out there.
If people want to know more about Noises Off for the rest of the season, they can go to the website.
Yep, theater2.org.
It's a two.
Yes, the number two. Although they could spell it out and they'd get there too.
Oh, would they?
Yes, they would.
Oh, well, that's smart.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think get a group together, come see the show. We'll see you there. It's really glad you could have us on to talk about it.
Miller, Morgan Hicks, thank you both very much.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.